Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Hello there and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. Come on in and make yourself at home. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes as we look at the Mass readings for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Believe it or not, and I don't know where the time has gone, this is technically the last Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I say technically because there are 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time. And then next week, which is the 34th Sunday, is the Solemnity of Christ the King. That officially ends the church year. After that, we go into the season of Advent and start all over once again. I think I may have mentioned this in the past few weeks, but these readings in the last few weeks of Ordinary Time, they're designed to get us thinking, that this world, and this is a hard message for us to accept sometimes, but it's a true one, this world is coming to an end. In other words, our time on the earth is limited. We ain't going to be here forever. So the church wants to make sure that we are ready to meet the Lord one day, to be judged, and then to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven, hopefully, and live with him forever. I mean, that's our goal as Christians, and that's what these readings are all about. And it's really a good thing. I don't want you to panic. I don't want you to think that it's a scary thing. It's not, because it's something that should awaken us. It should be a call to action, a sense of urgency to remind us that, hey, our time here isn't limited. Let's not slack off. So that's what these readings are all about. It's good news. Trust me on that. It's not really scary. It is all good news. Again, this is the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. You can find out more about my work by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. If you need to get in touch with me, you want to let me know what you think of the show, if you want to invite me to speak at your parish, if you want to check out the books that I've written, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, you ready to get started? Let's kick it off as we do each week on the program, by turning to our Heavenly Father, Almighty God. I mean, this is pretty cool that we have this opportunity to speak to our Father in heaven. Let's take advantage of that. Let's turn to him now. Please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, I give you thanks for this opportunity, this chance to talk to you, my Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe. Father, we turn to you today. We thank you for the many ways you have blessed us. We thank you for the fact that we are still alive, that you created us to be in a relationship with you, and for sustaining our lives, because we know that without your approval, we would cease to be. We would not exist. So the fact that we are alive is a sign that you love us, Father. Help us to remember that. Help us to better understand your love. Help us to trust you more. Help us to appreciate the things you do for us every day. And Father, help us to go out into the world. We need grace to do this. Help us to go out into the world and lead others close to you. There's no doubt that there's darkness in the world, but we want to make a difference. We want to be that light shining in the darkness. And with your help, the grace that you give us, Father, we know that it is possible. We also lift up to you any of our intentions, anything that's troubling us today. We may be in a position where we're getting discouraged, where we may be almost becoming hopeless. We're going to turn that over to you, Father. We know that you could do all things. You could handle it. We're going to let you handle that situation for us. And on a personal level, I'm going to ask you, Father, to speak through me on the program today. Give me the words. I know you've got a message for us on this 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Please give me the words. Help me to get out of the way so you can deliver your message. Father, as I always do, I ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, there we go. We prayed. Let's get right to it. We're going to look at the Mass readings for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And again, we're nearing the end of the church year, so these readings are going to remind us that our life on Earth is limited. And I know what you might say. You might say, wow, Gary, that's a really depressing thought. Well, it's not, because every day, think about it, every day that we spend on Earth is one day closer to our eternal reward in heaven. I mean, it's a great way to look at it, right? Don't get scared that you're getting older. Don't get scared that you're going to have to die one day. Every one of us, we're going to have to die. We will have to experience the departure from this world. It's going to happen. But look at what we've been promised. We've been promised eternal life in heaven, total happiness, no problems, forever. Forever. I mean, that's a long time, and that's what the Lord has promised us. All we got to do is stay close to Him and cooperate with the grace that He gives us. He does most of the work. You know, we try so hard sometimes, and we say, oh, I can't be good. Well, all we have to do is cooperate with the grace that the Lord gives us. He doesn't expect us to do anything on our own, because by ourselves, we can't do anything. We can't do any good without the help of the grace that the Lord gives us. So let's take advantage of that grace. You and me, we were called to be saints. We were created to be saints in heaven one day. It is possible. It might not seem like it, but I can guarantee that it is possible. So with that in mind, let's open up our Bibles or our missals, whatever it is, and whatever you know, if you can follow along, that would be great. But we want to look now at the Mass readings for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. As I do each week, I'll lead with the Gospel, because that's really, the Gospel is what drives the readings each week. So we'll look first at the Gospel. We look to Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Well, then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place. And awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prison, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." Wow. Let's be honest, that's a rough reading, isn't it? It's a tough gospel this week, but I want you to chill. We're going to talk about this. It's not as bad as it sounds. Let's break it down and talk a little bit about, more thoroughly, about what's going on here. People are, at the beginning of this gospel, people are speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings. So the temple is a beautiful place. It's the home of the Lord, the home of God at the time of Jesus. It's where people would go to worship. The temple is in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, "All that you see here, this magnificent temple, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Now, here's what's going on with the temple. The temple was first built by Solomon a few thousand years before the Lord, or a little over 1,000 years before the time of Jesus' birth. And then the temple was destroyed when the Babylonians, the time of the Babylonian exile, when Babylon attacked Jerusalem and took the Jews captive, the temple was first destroyed. So the temple was destroyed, and then it was rebuilt. It was rebuilt by the returned exiles, the people who had been exiled to Babylon. King Cyrus of Persia ultimately allowed some of them to go back, and this process began to take place where the temple was rebuilt. So the temple in the time of our Lord had already been rebuilt once, and it was going to be destroyed again. I think it was in the year 70 AD, the temple was once again destroyed. So Jesus is literally predicting that the temple will be destroyed again. The physical building, the temple, will be destroyed. But he's also reminding us of something. And I think this is the bigger picture we want to look at. They're gradually getting older, and eventually we're going to leave this earth. In other words, we ain't going to be here forever. That's what the Lord wants us to remember. We don't want to get too focused on material things. And I think you see that sometimes if a church closes, a parish will be consolidated with another parish, and people get very upset. But I think we have to be careful that we don't lose sight of the fact that it's just a building. It's just a building. The church, the mystical body of Christ, is much bigger than any one particular building. Let's not keep all of our focus on material things. And that's what Jesus wants to remember. There's a spiritual reality in this life and also in the next life, a spiritual reality that we can't necessarily see with our eyes, but it's much more important than anything physical. And at the end of the church year, the church wants us to remember that. We're not going to be here forever. So let's prepare. Let's make sure we're prepared for what awaits us in heaven. Let's make sure we do what we need to do to get to heaven. You could put it that way as well. So then they asked Jesus, well, when's this going to happen, Jesus? When will the temple be destroyed? And what Jesus said is, be careful that you don't listen to those who claim to know when the world will come to an end, when the world will come to an end. And you hear that a lot. Well, this sign means that the world is coming to an end. Jesus clearly in other places throughout the gospel said that you're not going to know the day or the time, the day or the hour, when it's going to happen. And I think that's a healthy perspective. I know that my time on earth is limited. I'm not going to be around forever. The average male life expectancy, I think, is 80 years old. I'm 60 now, so I have a rough idea. I mean, it could happen tomorrow. It could happen 20 years, 30 years, even 40 years from now. It's possible. But I want to be ready to die at any moment in time. I know that sounds scary, but really, it's just a way of being prepared. You want to live your life as if today is your last day. Why? Because you don't want to get caught by surprise. And I think that's the message that we need to get out of this gospel. We don't want to focus and get distracted by those who are saying, look at the fires in California. Look at the climate change. This means the world is coming to an end. I can't tell you that it doesn't mean that. But I also can't tell you that anybody can predict it with certainty, because they can't. We got to just focus on the fact that today could be our last day on the earth. And if the world comes to an end, or if I die suddenly, I'll be ready. And I think that's the main message for each of us. We need to be ready. Jesus then talks about before the end comes. And he's talking about the end of the world, which, yes, the world will end one day when Jesus returns in glory. But before this happens, you'll be handed over to synagogues. He's telling the people at the time that you will be persecuted. You will experience persecution. And you will be led before kings and governors. Look, let's be honest. We are seeing increased tension when it comes to sharing your faith in the world. We are seeing that. So yes, is this a sign? It could be. I don't know. But we want to make sure of one thing. We want to be sure that we are prepared. Jesus mentions that you don't prepare your defense beforehand. You let the Holy Spirit lead you. We want to let the Holy Spirit lead our lives in such a way that we are prepared. Whenever our time comes, we want to be prepared. He ends this gospel by saying, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. In other words, don't take your foot off the gas pedal yet. We don't want to get to a point in our spiritual life, our walk with the Lord, where we say, well, you know, this is good enough. I used to be completely lukewarm, and now I know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior, so I don't need to pursue my relationship with him anymore. That's absolutely untrue. We want to try to get closer to Jesus every day. Because if you stop moving forward, if you stop progressing in your spiritual life, you're going to go backwards. That's the way it works. So don't give up thinking that your relationship with Jesus is good enough. I'm a pretty good person. I'm never going to be perfect. No, you strive for that perfection. You strive for that perfection with the help of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think that you have arrived, because none of us have. We want to be working at this for the rest of our lives. That's the way it works. We don't want to slack off when it comes to growing closer to the Lord, for growing in holiness. We're going to keep improving every day. Let's look at the first reading. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Malachi, Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. It's a very simple reading, very short one, a reminder that there is a reward for living a good and holy life. There is. We're called every day to follow Jesus, to do his will, and let the Holy Spirit help to transform us into an image of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do every day. If we do that, we're not going to have a problem. We will make it to our heavenly reward. And it really is as simple as that. We can overcomplicate this, but it's a pretty simple message. Just stay close to the Lord, follow the advice of the Blessed Mother in her last recorded words in sacred scripture. In John chapter 2, the Blessed Mother said, do whatever he tells you. I mean, it's really easy. That's what we need to do. I should say it's simple. It's not necessarily easy. That could be challenging, to do whatever he tells you, because there's going to be days when you don't feel like doing what he wants you to do. But just keep at it, and again, ask the Holy Spirit. Depend on the Holy Spirit to drive you. That very Spirit, the Spirit which guided Jesus, who guided Jesus, that Spirit is available to you and me. That Spirit can help us to be holy, to live holy and good lives. And the Holy Spirit is here to transform us into the image of Christ. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. The responsorial Psalm, Psalm 98, beginning in verse 5, the Lord comes to rule the earth with justice. Sing praise to the Lord with the harp and the melodious song. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, sing joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea and what fills it resound, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, the mountains shout with them for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the world with justice and the peoples with equity. This is, again, that reminder, the Lord comes to rule the earth with justice. Right now, the Lord's kind of letting, I mean, honestly, he's letting evil play out. Right now, he has not defeated the evil one. I mean, actually, the evil one will be defeated. We know that. But the evil one has been given free reign. He's not greater than the Lord, but the Lord is allowing him to do his thing. And you see his evidence of his handiwork all throughout the world. But one day, that's going to come to an end, at the end of the world, when the Lord comes again in glory. It's happening, but going back to that gospel, let's not try to predict it. Let's treat every day as if it was your last day. And as Frank Sinatra has said, I mean, I get it that he's no theologian, but I always like this line from Old Blue Eyes, live every day like it's your last, and one day you will be right, you know? I mean, it's pretty simple, but that's exactly what we're called to do. This day could be my last day. I want to treat it as if it is, and then one day, when it is my last day, I'm going to be ready to receive my reward in heaven. The second reading comes from St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, beginning in chapter 3, verse 7. Brothers and sisters, you know how one must imitate us. For we did not act in a disorderly way among you, nor did we eat food received free from anyone. On the contrary, in toil and drudgery, night and day, we worked, so as not to burden any of you. Not that we do not have the right, Rather, we wanted to present ourselves as a model for you so that you might imitate us. In fact, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat. We hear that some are conducting themselves among you in a disorderly way, by not keeping busy but minding the busyness of others, the business of others, I'm sorry. Such people we instruct and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and to eat their own food. Now, here's what was happening in the time of this letter St. Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, because what they were expecting, they were waiting for the Lord to come and get in glory. And as a result, you know, remember, this is 2,000 years ago, and people expected Jesus to come back again soon. Many people expected him to come back soon. And look, here we are 2,000 years later, and he still hasn't come back again in glory. But they were expecting to come back soon, so what happened? They stopped working. They just thought, well, we're just going to sit around and wait for him to come. And Paul is urging the people he's writing here to here, he's urging them, no, keep busy, keep working, keep your nose focused on the work at hand. Don't get distracted by trying to figure out when the Lord is coming again in glory. And that ties into the gospel message. It ties into the first reading. Yes, it is happening. Yes, it will happen. But don't spend all of your time trying to predict when the world will end. You know, because we get ourselves into trouble that way. We start playing God and we start looking at signs and interpreting the signs. And we lose the focus. What's the main focus that we should have? The focus is that we are to follow Jesus every day and do his will and let the Holy Spirit transform us, to change us so that we can become more like him. That's not going to happen if we're so, that's not going to happen if we're so busy looking around us and waiting, looking for signs that the world is coming to an end. Again, no matter how old you are, you are going to be here for a relatively short time. Depending on your age, I mean, you don't know. People die young, people die old, but still, we know as a general rule what our lifespan will be. And when you compare it to eternity, it's not that long of a time. So we want to keep focused and do what we can. You know, another mistake we can make is look at the state of the world and realize how messed up it is. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not messed up, because it is absolutely messed up. There's a lot of darkness out there, a lot of hatred, a lot of people who are completely clueless when it comes to a relationship with the Lord. I mean, that's real. I can't tell you otherwise. But what I can tell you is you can turn the TV off, you can turn the radio off, you can avoid the internet, you can close your ears to some of this stuff. You could still be informed, but you don't have to live it 24 hours a day. You know what I mean? Because if you do that, if you focus on everything that's wrong with the world, you're going to be going against what Jesus is saying in this gospel, and you're also going to make yourself really depressed. And finally, you're not going to be doing the Lord's will. He wants you to follow him and be a light shining in the darkness. So if you're too focused on everybody else, you're not going to be focused on yourself. I think one of the hardest things for me to accept sometimes is that my actions can make a difference in this crazy world. We sometimes can, and you know, the devil likes to get into our heads with this and convince us that our actions, our noble actions of doing something good, is not going to make a difference because the world's too messed up. But that's not true. I can only control my actions. So therefore, if I try my best with the help of the Lord to avoid sin and to be nice to people, I mean, literally, smile, hold the door for somebody behind you, say hello, ask, is there anything I could do to help you? I'll pray for you if somebody's struggling. You know, these little things, they mean a lot, and that's the way we can be Jesus to one another. If many of us did that, then the world would change. But remember, you can't control everybody else. You can't control people that are doing crazy things in the world. You really can't. Ultimately, you are only responsible for your own actions. You're not going to be judged for everybody else's actions. You're going to be judged for your actions. So do your best at this point in time, today, focus on the present moment, to follow the Lord and to be an example for others. That's what the church wants us to get out of these readings as we approach the end of the church year, to focus on the church, on doing what's right. Next week, we will look at the readings for the final Sunday in ordinary time, and the Sunday is known as Christ the King. We focus on the kingship of Jesus Christ, and we ask the question, is Jesus really the King and the Lord of my life? And a lot of times, if we're being totally honest, the answer is going to be no. There is something or someone who is more important to us than Jesus. And that's a tough realization, but it's one that we all have to really have to come to grips with. I have to look at the fact that I better make sure that Jesus is truly the King of my life. And that's what we do as the church year comes to an end. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to panic. Yes, you're going to die. That's not a newsflash. We know that. Yes, the world will come to an end one day. It really doesn't matter when, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing today. So let's, together, you, me, let's do that this week. Let's make it a point. Let's pray to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to let us know if there's something we need to change, maybe some sin that we haven't confessed, or maybe a habit that we're not taking care of. Let's let the Holy Spirit guide us and point us in the right direction. And with His help, we can make those changes. Okay, does that sound good? All right, so here's the deal. If you need to get in touch with me, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And I'm going to ask you again, it's always hard for me to mention this, but I really could use your financial support to sustain my full-time ministry. If you would be so kind, if you like my work, if you'd like to see it continue, to visit followingthetruth.com and click on donate, and you can either make a one-time donation or you can become a monthly sponsor. I could really use some new monthly sponsors of my work. It could be $10 a month. That equates to 33 cents a day. That would be very, very helpful for me if you could do that. And of course, you can cancel that at any time. You could do it for 1 month and decide this isn't for me and cancel it. You can also make a one-time donation. I would urge you to be as generous as you could. That would be very much appreciated. You could do that securely via PayPal by going to followingthetruth.com. You can also get in touch with me through the website. If there's anything you need to say, let me know. Know that I'm praying for you every day, and I ask you to pray for me as well. I greatly appreciate it. All right, until we meet again, I want to remind you that wherever you go, whatever you do, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't worry. He is with you. Until next time, this is Gary Zimak saying so long.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.